Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
So now you've got your training out of the way, your education, you've been to Vanguard, and you've established Libertas International. How did you get into Colombia?
So I've been to Colombia on a couple of different occasions. I've been to Bogota and then to Cartagena, which was good. You know, I loved those places, like they're great places. But I ended up in Medellin, Colombia, after I got a phone call from an agent at the Homeland Security Investigations named Steve Mullen. A man who I deeply love and deeply admire. He called me and he was like, "Hey, Tyler, we're working on this case against this guy named Victor Galarza and Herbert Fletcher, two American who are abusing kids in Colombia, filming the abuse and uploading it to different porn sites. I have this girl. She needs help. Would you be down to fly down to Medellin to help me?" I was like, "Yeah, man, yeah, send me the dates and we'll go down." And so I met him down there and I met this this sweet little girl who's now on my board, actually, this now 22-year-old. But she told me, I met her and she told me the story of she met these two American guys who abused her. They tricked her into being assaulted. She was gang raped. It was filmed and it got put onto the internet. And then they were threatening her with violence if she wasn't going to sleep with and be raped by the friends of these American guys. It's so interesting to even like thinking back on that moment, because I was so moved again, just so upset and so irate that this was happening, because this is my first time to Medellin. I'd done my research and I knew that, you know, back when Mr. Steve Murphy lived there, it was the most dangerous city in the world at that point. And because of the work that you guys did and the Colombian police did, you guys cleaned it up to where the country and the city of Medellin pulled itself up by its bootstraps and became this kind of shining light in Latin America of what real transformation can look like. And it became so transformed that the absolute worst of the United States were now traveling down there to rape and abuse the most vulnerable that live in that city. And I just couldn't deal with it. Like, I could not see what they were. I was like, this little girl has been raped by five Americans already. And these American guys are losers. Like, they're evil. They're pedophiles. They're a bunch of nobodies. And they're coming here in droves. So we started helping this little girl. And obviously, anyone that's been to Medellin, you know, falls in love with the city. It was the cause that I'd finally felt like I knew that I'd found a passion, like an anti-human trafficking work for a long time. But when I met this little girl, I feel like I found a calling. My calling in life is to help survivors of human trafficking who have been abused by American men and then work with local authorities to make sure these American men pay for what they've done to these kids. That's where it started, was with this little girl. And it started with just her. And then 2 months later, there was four more that came forward. After two more months, we then had 20 girls in our foundation that had been raped by American men. We had a whole list of names, and we've been there ever since. That's what we've been focused on ever since, is supporting survivors of human trafficking who've been abused by American tourists, essentially.
So and I'm ignorant of this, so I'm learning from you. When you say you help these little girls, what does that mean? What is it that you do for them?
Yeah. So in that case, you know, the first thing we do is meet those basic needs. You kind of work our way up Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So the first thing is like food, water, shelter. It's hard for a little girl to be like, "Well, I want to be a vet when I grow up," if you're not eating anymore. And so we help just meet those basic needs, make sure that they're on sure footing and they know that we have their back so they can think about what they want to do when they grow up. And we believe a lot in like investing in education. So this little girl specifically wanted to be a vet. And so we had her find a vet school. We helped her finish that school, paid for the school supplies, the transports, and the university, so that she could be a vet. So
what about her? What about her family? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what about her family?
Her family. She came from a good family. They were unaware of what was happening because they were extremely poor, And so that's how she ended up in this, in being trafficked, is because she was out looking for jobs and these Americans tricked her. They essentially got her because they invited her to a party. And at the party, that's where they forced her to do sexual things with a camera. And then once you have like that video, they hold all the leverage over her, and that's where they started to traffic her, because they had that leverage. And even then, like, they promised her they wouldn't upload it, but these guys don't care. Like, these American guys, these traffickers, these girls are just commodities for them anyway. And so they told the girl, yeah, we're not going to post it. But they posted it on sort of sites like Pornhub, Xvideos, Spank Monkey, YouPorn, like all these different websites, to where this girl now, like, she's actually in a lawsuit against Pornhub, because Pornhub was the first to upload that abuse and then refused to take it down without seeing her identification. And so she's like, I was 14 years old. Like, take that video down. That was a rape. They gang raped me. I was 14. Take it down. And they wouldn't take it down. So we're in a current lawsuit against Pornhub
Is this on the dark web? Is that what we're talking about?
No, a lot of this was just on the public web. We've had some dark web cases. The little girl I was telling you about on our call with the 19-month-old baby, that was a dark web case. But a lot of these cases, it's on the public web, on websites that you can find in Google, even on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. The lack of accountability with some of these tech companies is really shameful.
What kind of perverted people would do that to start with? And then what kind of perverted people are there that get off on watching this crap? I know that's an unanswerable question, but my gosh.
It's actually a pretty common question too that people ask. How do these people end up as these guys? And there's two answers that I give. One is I don't know. And the other one is I don't care how they ended up that way. They're doing it. They deserve to be in jail. And so we do our best to put them there. Because like normal people like you and I, what we're describing now is so outside of like the realm of reality of possibilities for us, that we have no way of getting inside their head, because we'll never go there. And so for me, I just don't care. And I just wanted to see him in handcuffs.
Wow. I am doing my best to hold my temper here, because it's not productive. I don't want to waste your time with me ranting and raving. I can do that at the intro and the outro. And I'm pretty sure that my entire family is going to listen to this episode, just because, you know, I think our daughters realize what life could have been, you know, coming from Colombia. And it's not just Colombia. It's right here in the United States. But you have an NGO. Can you explain to our listeners what an NGO is and what it stands for?
Yeah. An NGO stands for a non-governmental organization. And so basically what that means is Libertas International can get donations. So a lot of like our partners, for example, like in the Colombia National Police or Homeland Security Investigations, they're funded via our tax dollars. And a lot of those good agents really put those dollars to good use to help kids, both in the States and in other countries, and to hold these American guys accountable. But for us, an NGO means that we're not government. So I can't arrest anybody. And we survive on donations. So when people donate to Libertas International, they can get a tax write-off if they give, you know, large amounts. And then even if they give small amounts, if they come like a monthly donor or something. So NGO essentially means we're not government, but we work with governments to make things happen.
Who are your donors? Are there corporate donors or individuals? How does that work?
We're always looking to expand our donation base too. A lot of our donors are monthly donors, just normal people like you and I that give anywhere between $25 a month, $50 a month, $1,000 a month to essentially help us budget in the future so that we can receive new girls into our program. Like last week, we received a 14-year-old girl, sweet, sweet kid. She was trafficked by an American guy who's now on our radar. He took her to a bachelor party in Medellin. Him and his buddy were doing a bachelor party out there, drugged her, and she became the entertainment for the party, where these guys just, they brutalized her. They abused her. They raped her. I'm sure there's videos of what's going on. And for us, like she wants help. She needs help to heal. And so our monthly donors allow us to plan in advance to make that happen. But yeah, we have some corporate donors as well. We have an amazing partner that's called the Wound Pros that are based out of Ojai, California, that support us a lot. We have some family foundations that help us to get funding. The state of California contracts with us to do some training and awareness for their schools in Ventura County, which gives us some funding. And but a lot of most of our donors are part of that monthly giving team. They donate anywhere between $5 to $1,000 a month.
Wow. And where would people go? And we'll cover this again at the end, but just right now, where would people go to make a donation?
You go to LibertasInternational.org, and our donate button is kind of all over the website. And you can check out the news articles about us, our podcast, our different media outlets, and just click on the donate button. It lets you choose your amount. It lets you choose if it's monthly or if it's one time. And that's how people make the donation. And we're on all social media platforms. We're on X, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those different sites.
Yeah, it was. I found you on a lot of places. You're all over.
Yes.
And so you're down in Columbia. I'm curious, was the HSI guy, was he stationed in Columbia somewhere?
No, he was actually based in New York City. But the guy was from New York, and so he was working with the embassy in Bogota, with the HSI guys down in Columbia to help make their case, because they wanted to arrest Victor and Herbert. Herbert was in Columbia at the time. Victor was in the States. They wanted to arrest Victor and arrest Herbert while he was in Columbia. So they had to do that joint effort there. And for me, like, so we talk about like helping these girls. A big part of how we help the girls is via justice and making relationships with the Columbia National Police and the HSI and the embassy and all these different pieces. And I told you I was going to do this like on the pre-show. I'm going to give a shameless shout out to the book Manhunters that you wrote. I learned a lot on how to work with foreign governments through that book, especially like that last chapter where you talk about getting your medal and like your thoughts on the Columbia National Police. Like that's so, it's so beautiful for one. And two, I think it's the best way that, cause I first saw, you know, Steve and Javier. So I was looking to learn how to fight evil in Medellin, Colombia. So what better to learn from the people that've already done it. And so I did that, you know, I sought you guys out. I did my reading and I learned so much, and I applied so much of those values that I learned from your podcast and those books. And with the case of Victor Galarza, we applied a lot of that because we had to have all parties on the same page, Colombians, Americans, and just to always honor the Colombian National Police so that they never feel like we're taking over their investigation or throwing them under the bus. Because I remember your story about how I think it was the FBI treated the information they had on some of these recordings to the Colombian police. And I remember reading that part.
It was CIA. And I was like, CIA, let's get that straight.
CIA, I was like, we can never let that happen. We can never have them feel dishonored by our presence there. I learned a lot like from that chapter, that the things that I learned, how the things that we learned as a team, the bravery of our survivors, it ended up leading to these people getting arrested and being sentenced to jail time. And I'll never forget the sentencing of Herbert Fletcher, a trafficker that was helping Victor Galarza with his sex tourism enterprise. I had these two girls, including the girl I mentioned that I met in that first trip to Medellin all those years back. She came with me to New York to testify at his sentencing. And, you know, the sentencing hearings are kind of hard because his defense attorneys were calling her a prostitute. Mm-hmm. This girl tricked my client into having sex with him, and now he's going to jail, and it's not fair. And this sweet little girl, like, she had this note written up she was going to read of her victim impact statement. And she looked at me and she's like, can I say whatever I want? And I was like, yeah, you can say whatever you want. So she crumpled up her paper and she chucked it. She goes up there and really just gives it to this guy. First, he gives it to her lawyer. She's like, you're a female lawyer. You're defending this guy. God should remove your vagina because you have no right in having that, defending this man who abused me when I was so little. I wasn't a prostitute. I was working in an ice cream store. And he abused me while I was working in an ice cream store. Told his lawyer exactly what she thought of him. Told the trafficker, Herbert, what she thought of him being a pedophile, being an abuser, telling his family, who was also sitting there, what she thought of this trafficker, and then told the federal judge how far she's come in this whole process. And then once she was done, hearing the judge hand down a very strong sentence to this guy, and sitting next to this little girl that I met in Medellin on my first trip, where she was vulnerable, she was weak, she'd been abused by a number of men, and now to see her now as like this professional, she's a veterinarian. And she looked her trafficker right in the face. I had never seen anything so brave. And it only happened because, first off, of her bravery and her strength, and then those collective lessons that we all learned working together, Colombians, Americans, to make this thing happen.
Man, I want to jump up and start applauding right now. Good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to stand up for yourself, but I can only imagine being at a very young, vulnerable age, being beat down to the point where you think it's life is just over, but then you hear these stories of rescue and recovery and just building up that self confidence to be able to hold a job and stand up for herself and to look somebody in the eye. I mean, as many times as I've been to court, 38 years, I went to court a lot.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how many times victims could not look the perpetrator in the eye. I don't know the young girl that you're talking about, but just so proud of her doing what had to be done. Do you remember what the sentence was for that piece of crap?
Yeah, I remember the main guy, Victor Galarza, got 17 and a half years, and then Fletcher got a decade.
See, in my book, they should get life.
I agree.
When you prey on vulnerable, innocent human beings, you have no right, in my opinion, to walk on my earth as a free person.
It's 100% just, agreement.
That's horrific. Now, you're assisting these girls. You're getting them food, shelter, water, eventually, I'm guessing, an education for the younger ones. Are you reuniting them with their families when you can?
Yeah, we help reunite their families, that family unification, and to also work with like the family unit as a whole to help them be strengthened as a unit to help this girl thrive in a family so that the family doesn't blame her for what's happened. And also we can prevent this from happening in future generations, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And we do things like we had a guy, a really nasty individual that from Chicago that would tattoo his name on these girls. People can look him up. His name's Haven Cates. He's from Chicago and he's weighs probably 410 pounds. He's a nasty human being. And what he would do is after he would abuse them, before he would pay them, and he would pay them like $14 per rape, he would make them get their name tattooed on their body, and then he would pay them. And so we help remove those tattoos. We'll help cover the cost for that so that these girls don't have to wear the names of these guys for the rest of their lives.
Well, I hope that fat slob's in prison somewhere.
He is. He was also sentenced, probably not as strong as we'd like. He also got a decade, but he's also in jail.
And typically in prisons, in the prison environment, when child molesters come in, they serve a much worse sentence based on what other prisoners do to them. Forgive me for saying this, but I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
I got a lot of notes here. I read about something called Operation Archangel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Operation Archangel, that case was started. It's this amazing effort that that Libertas International is a part of, along with the Homeland Security Investigations and the Colombian National Police. It all occurred last year. The whole story is just so beautiful. So there's this little girl in our foundation. She's been with us for a long time. She was trafficked by an American. That guy's been sentenced. He's gone to jail. And she's finishing her last year of high school. And there's this little girl in her school who's 13 years old, and she was being bullied ruthlessly in school. Why? Because there's a video going around of her being abused by an American guy. And so this little girl calls me up, and she's like, hey, there's this girl in my school. She's going through a lot. She's being bullied because of this video. Can I talk to her? And I was like, yeah, talk to her. Like, tell her that we're here to help. And so this little girl, our little girl, who was only 16 at the time, goes and befriends this 13-year-old little girl who's being bullied. And she's like, hey, I know what's happened. The same thing happened to me. There's help for you if you want. Just befriended this girl, offered her some compassion, some kindness, and then got her into a meeting with us where we started with her in our program. And so she told us what happened. She told us that there was this guy that came to Medellin, and he invited girls into his Airbnb for a party and then wouldn't let them leave until they did things to him and he could get on camera. Who is this guy? His name was James Schulte. He was an MMA fighter from Phoenix, Arizona, who legally changed his name to James Bond. Total loser. Such a loser. But his name's James Bond Schulte. His legal name is James Bond now. James Schulte is his name. He's an MMA fighter from Phoenix, Arizona, who was traveling the world raping little girls and uploading it to his personal social media channels like Telegram, OnlyFans, and then different porn sites that would pick up these abuses. And so this little girl, we met with her and we started the process of helping her heal and also finding other victims of this MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. When the dust settles, we have 15 victims of this one guy, James Schulte. And because of the amount of victims and because this guy is doing this all over the world, we meet up with Homeland Security Investigations and the Colombian National Police. We have to do something about this guy. And this guy has friends. And there's a problem in Medellin that's now becoming more aware, that the world's becoming more aware, because we've known for a long time. The people at Libertas have known for a long time. And now the world is starting to understand that these American pedophiles are traveling to the city to abuse poor girls in the city. And so the mayor got involved, HSI got really involved, the Colombian National Police invested a lot of resources and training in this, and we called it Operation Archangel. And, you know, Colombia being very Catholic, and the Archangel Michael being the one that that cast the devil out of heaven, that was basically our thing. We're casting the devil, the American pedophiles, out of heaven, the city of Medellin. Because we had this one target, James Bond, and after we got to know his 15 victims, we had a whole new list of 25 other American predators who were abusing kids in the city. And so the project now, between all of us coordinating together, is a comprehensive effort on the healing and the justice of these survivors. So the cops, they're the ones that do the investigation, they're the ones that do the prosecution, they're the ones that do the arrests. But these survivors, who's helping them testify, who's helping them heal, who's helping them get educated, that's on us. And so between all of us, we both complement each other to help make this happen. And since this investigation happened, James Bond has been arrested. He's awaiting trial in Phoenix, Arizona. We arrested a guy named Orion Depp, a crypto influencer in Los Angeles, California. We arrested a guy named Dominic DiVincenzo, a true monster that is an ex-military officer from Orlando, Florida. We arrested a guy named Richard Obolimski, a Mason from Arizona. And then even as recently as yesterday, we got a guy named his last name is G. He's a guy from New Jersey who is also traveling down to find virgins to abuse in Medellin. And so the work continues. Operation Archangel is an operation that's ongoing continually. And we hope that we're sending the message to these guys, go elsewhere, because if you come to Medellin to abuse these kids, you're going to spend a lot of time in jail. And you're going to become famous for all the worst reasons.
And our regular listeners know that we rarely give out names of bad guys, because we don't going to give them any recognition. But this is the opposite here, where they need all the recognition they can get. So you know what kind of devils are living out there. I mean, my wife and I, we've moved a lot, living, you know, work for the government, and even moving down here for retirement in Florida. And the first thing we go to is pedophile sites. You know, the sex trafficker or the sex offender sites for each state to find out who's in our neighborhood. And let me tell you, we've turned a lot of neighborhoods down, and it's getting to the point where it's kind of hard to find a decent neighborhood where somebody doesn't have a sex offender offense on their record. And for those of you that don't know about that, just Google it. Just take a look at your neighborhood and find out who's in your neighborhood, because I'll guarantee you they're everywhere. And I wanted to say also, thank you for what you said about our book, Manhunters. I do want to say all we did was assist the Colombian National Police. There was nothing special about what Javier and I did. I mean, we have very strong work ethics, faced a lot of the same dangers they did, not nearly as many as they did. This is our ninth year of our worldwide keynote speaking business. And every presentation we do, we always make sure to give credit to the heroes, to the true heroes of that entire investigation. And that's the Colombian National Police, because they took their country back from a freaking pedophile. You probably already know this because you read the book, but Pablo married Tata when he was, I think, 25 years old. She was 13. And I've read her book since. It's called Pablo and Me. I don't know if you can see it behind me or not on the bookshelves back there, but she admits towards the end of the book that she had an abortion at 13 because he got her pregnant when she was 12. So on top of him being a mass murderer and responsible for 80% of the world's cocaine, he's a sick pedophile. Just like this craft that we're talking about here. And again, I don't want to waste time bitching.
No, you bring up a good point, though. Like, there's a guy that we arrested named Stefan Correa that we assisted with the arrest. The HSI and immigration is actually the one that made the arrest. But he's a monster. In all sense of the word, he was abusing girls that were 10, 11 years old. He was giving them used iPhones. And then he was telling his pimp, I don't want this 10-year-old to cry again. Just tell her it'll be over soon, and I don't want to see her tears. That's what he told this little girl. And he told the pimp the worst thing, one of the worst things, said it's all bad. But he was like, I want her at my apartment at 8 p.m. because I'm going to go to the Pablo Escobar Museum before I abuse her. And I tell people, I'm like, the Pablo tourism, if you wear like a Pablo Escobar t-shirt, like, you're disrespecting the Colombian people. This guy is a terrorist. He's a pedophile. It's like someone going to New York and being like, I'm going to go and see Osama bin Laden tourism to see his good work. Like, you insult us by even like mentioning us. You insult the Colombian people by contributing to Pablo terrorism. They want so bad to rid themselves of this man. And it's these Americans like this that have no disregard for how the Colombians feel about this. and then rape these little 10-year-old girls. They're just monsters. And so just to kind of second what you're saying of these people that are traveling to visit the Medellin, not only are they abusing their kids, they're also celebrating the very worst part of their history.
And so, and because I want to keep going with what we're talking about here, but you also have smaller offices in other countries as well, besides Medellin, right?
Yeah, Medellin is our biggest office, where we spend most of our money. It's where the majority of our survivor family lives. And so when people ask, where does Libertas International work, I mainly say Medellin, Colombia. But we do support survivors in Guatemala City, Santo Domingo, and then Tijuana, Mexico. And our level of support, we hope to one day create the same kind of program that we have in those cities that we have in Medellin, Colombia, where we have something like an Operation Archangel in all these different places. But obviously that comes with time and resources that the nonprofit needs to help expand. But yeah, we do support in other areas of Latin America as well. And then supporting the embassy and Homeland Security investigations in Lima, Peru.
Oh. And how old are you now?
33. I turned 34 in November.
Man, you've done more good in this world in 10 years as a young man than most people will do in a lifetime. A lot of lifetimes. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on here. How many victims do you think that you guys have helped through Libertas?
Well, Libertas now, we're currently supporting 126 survivors across Latin America. Again, the majority living in Medellin, Colombia. The total amount that we've rescued, we've supported their removal from their trafficker, is 182. And then total predators arrested is 83 that went up, one as of yesterday, where we got this guy from Jersey that was traveling back to Colombia to abuse these girls. So, and then the impact of that, like there's been cases where we've repatriated survivors from where they've been trafficked to, if they're trafficked to Peru, but they're from Venezuela, for example. We've helped reunite families in that way. We've done prevention courses. And so the impact, is probably in the thousands where we've impacted across the lifetime of the nonprofit. But I like to use the number 126 we're supporting right now, because I know those girls very personally. I know their favorite color. I know their birthday. I know their dislikes. I know what annoys them. I have all that information at hand. The average age of the girl that we support is 14. The average age where they first experience their abuse is 12. And the youngest survivors that we've ever got is 19 months old.
What can you do to them? I'm just at a loss of words here without going off the deep end. I did read one article where that you guys have supported in excess of 3,000 victims. And you're being very humble with your numbers here. You're not trying to blow this thing out of proportion, but I want the world to know how successful you guys are, and I want the world to support you in your efforts. Tell the people about the story of what the mother did to her baby.
Yeah, over the lifetime of Libertas, we have impacted thousands. And I can tell people if they're looking to donate right now to do it, because the money goes a long way. Just like the girl I was telling you about that went up to court and told this defense attorney to eat shit. Like, they're just so brave. So brave. They're so beautiful. They're so amazing. And they come from a place where bravery is just – it's part of their culture, a place in Medellin. So please donate, because we are impacting hundreds and thousands of survivors. And yeah, that's always – that's always the stories that hurt the worst, Steve, is the one that has to do with like the parents involved and they're so young. And so about a year ago, I got a call from a guy at the embassy, a guy who I love very much, an agent from Homeland Security Investigations. He called me and he said, do you have room in your family, in your foundation for a 19-month-old baby? I misheard. I thought he said 19 years old. I was like, yeah, bro, like we got space. Like, we'll help her go to college. We'll help her finish high school, whatever she needs to do. And he was like, I don't think you heard me right, man. Like, I said 19-month-old baby. I'm not talking about a 19-year-old girl. And I had to like sit down. Like, I had to like sit down and ingest that, what he just said, a 19-month-old baby. And I was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out what's going on. And so what happened is there's a police officer from New York, an NYPD officer named Ahmad Bihari, who would find girls on Tinder who had young children. If he would befriend them, he would start a relationship with them, and he would bring up the idea, I want to do things to your baby. I want you to do things to your baby in video. Wow. And this guy's an NYPD police officer. Some of these people that I'm talking about, these people that travel overseas to abuse kids, they're pharmacists, they're school teachers, they're ex-military officers, and sometimes even police officers. They really can be hiding in plain sight. And so what did this girl do? This girl agreed. She would abuse her own baby, this 19-month-old baby. She would do it on camera. She would take the videos and she would send it to Ahmad Beharry, Officer Beharry. And then he would ask for more. And he asked for things that were so disturbing that the mother actually had to say no sometimes. The mother was willing to rape her own child, but she wasn't willing to allow the dog to rape her own child. That's what she had to tell this guy no. And so the baby was removed from the home. The mother was arrested. She's now serving a 22-year prison sentence in a Colombian prison. And the kid came to us to help reestablish her rights. And so a 19-month-old baby, that's how I first learned how expensive diapers were. Because I don't know. I'm not a dad. But with her, she needed diapers. She needed a new crib. She needed a safe place to stay. So we did some vetting with some foster families in our program and eventually led to a safe family for her. But for a long time, this little baby was just quiet, wouldn't speak, wouldn't say a word. And the first time I ever saw her smile is Christmas. Every year for Christmas, we do a little something for the girls and do a gift that's very personal for them. And for this little baby, we got her one of those like little like lawnmowers where the balls pop every time you push it. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And so we gave her this little thing, and she pushes it, and the balls pop. And at first she's scared. She's like, "What was that?" And then she does it again. And she realizes that she's in control of this, and so she's still nonverbal at this point. She was probably around 2.5 when this happened. But I have the sweetest picture of her just grinning ear to ear, just popping the little lawnmower. And I was like, "This is what this is supposed to look like." Her being a kid, like she's just enjoying the world around her. And that's what we did to support her. Like we started meeting those basic needs and find a safe place for her. And on the other end, we wanted, call it justice, call it vengeance. I don't care. We wanted this guy in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. And so we made a collaborative effort between the Colombian National Police to ensure that they had what they needed resource-wise to do their investigation, continue to coordinate with Homeland Security and the embassy of what we were doing to help the girl. And in January of this year, members of the Colombian National Police, Libertas International, Homeland Security Investigations, went up to Yonkers, New York, and made a big scene in this neighborhood at 6 a.m. in the morning. Officer Beharry was taken into handcuffs for what he was doing to this little girl. And then and during that time, we identified another little girl who was 6 years old that he was also abusing.
You know, the whole purpose of Game of Crimes is to promote law enforcement, first responders, and the military in the most positive light. But we have never, never hesitated to say nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And the son of a bitch is making us all look bad because of his perverted activities. God bless you guys for what you did. How old is that little girl now?
She just turned 3. And she's doing her favorite place is the beach. Every couple months, she goes to the beach with her grandma, where she lives. She just started preschool, so we got to buy her uniforms. We got to buy her like school supplies, her little mm-hmm. backpack that she wears, and she's doing well. She's thriving. We're continuing to support the family, so that the family as a whole can be less vulnerable and less poor, and grow up in a situation that's safe. And for me, like I remember. The day of the operation, we called this operation Operation Castle, and I remember sitting there at this parking lot at a Dunkin' Donuts with these police officers that were in uniform. They had their vests on. The agents from Homeland Security, the Colombian National Police, and I just started to cry a little bit because I've met this little girl. I've held her. I've during an event once she was learning how to stand, and during this event she was present. They were doing the national anthem for the States and the national anthem for Colombia. And so I helped her stand and put her hand on her heart so she could, you know, do the pledge. And I have a little picture I can share with you to show you. And I just, I know her, you know, we've helped take care of her. We bought her diapers. We bought her a new crib. And to see her, just this group of agents from the United States who had never met her, these police officers from Colombia, these good cops, these amazing people that helped do the investigation on the mother and mm-hmm. on the police officer from New York. I started to cry. Mm-hmm. I was like, this girl is so well represented here. She's so loved. She's so appreciated. And I'm just so humbled to see such a team of people to go ensure that when she could get justice. Because what she would do is in the investigation, the officer, he told me, that was present with me through the investigation, he just had to turn off the sound of the video and just record the crimes that were happening. Because all the little girl would do is just look at the camera and cry of what was happening. And to know that she was so well represented there and that justice happened, and that now Officer Beharry is facing 25 years or however long he's facing in a New York prison, she was so well represented and she was so taken care of that I just felt such an honor to be amongst such brave law enforcement that were ensuring that this bad cop couldn't hurt anyone else.
I can't even talk right now. As you were telling that story, and I apologize here. As you were telling that story, it looked like I wasn't paying attention. What I was doing was making a donation to Libertas. That's how easy it is. And that's how quickly it can be done.
I think thank you, Steve.
I wish I had the financial resources to promote you and fund you so that you would never have to worry about donations again. Unfortunately, I was a cop my whole life and I don't have that kind of funding. Let's take a break here just for a second.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Well, okay. I apologize for that there. I've never experienced what I just experienced there. And Tyler, I'm sorry that I interrupted the story there now I can't even talk. The story about a baby, that somebody would do that to a baby, just kills me. It's just killing me. And Tyler was nice enough to send me some photographs of this little girl, and I'm going to post them on our webpage. I will black out her face. We're not going to reveal her identity, but wait till you see this little angel. Oh my gosh. I'm looking at a picture now. She's sitting in front of a bowl of ice cream that must be this big around. And she's got a look on her face like, I just hit the jackpot, man. I gotta quit looking at that. I'll start blubbering again here. So, for all the good work that you're doing down there, has anybody threatened your life?
You know, not yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Like we have this guy that we arrested again, like a guy that's in a position of influence, or he was in the United States. He was an ex-military officer. His name's Dominic DiVincenzo, and he was abusing the most vulnerable girls that he could find in Colombia. Some had special needs. Some had no parents. Some had parents. Some of these girls had parents that had special needs that, you know, with the lack of resources down there, like these girls have been surviving for a long time. He would abuse them, bring them into his penthouse where he would abuse them. He's crazy sexist. Like he would tell these girls just very sexist, very evil things about them being female and how they have to do whatever he asks because he's an American male. And one of these girls that he brought into his penthouse said no. So he drugged her and he abused her anyway. And so in this case, he threatened her behind bars. He sent his goons to go beat her up, take her to his lawyer's office, and then essentially recant her statement. And so this girl gets such an act of bravery again to tell us about this and tell her that, look, these guys beat me up. They brought me to his lawyer's office where they made me recant my statement. I want to recant my recant and show you what exactly happened in this situation. Again, like just this level of bravery that, if that happened to me, I might just be like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I just want to give up the process. I just let him do what he wants to do. I don't want to be involved. But she didn't do that. She wants to keep fighting against this guy. And she's just so brave, you know? And so how do I not be anything different? Like, if she's willing to be so brave and despite these threats, if a threat comes my way, I want to be brave as well. Because there's no place that I think I'd rather be than stand between these American predators and these Colombian children that they're abusing, or children for wherever. And And I think the price of freedom is high, but it should be a price that we're all willing to pay. And these girls have paid it. They're paying it. And how do I not do anything any different? I'm not saying, I'm perfect in that aspect to where I may have doubts like when those times comes, but those girls being that brave, telling their traffickers to, eat shit in federal court, recanting their recant, sharing their story in front of the United Nations or whatever it may be, they inspire me to be a little braver and a little better as a human being.
Yeah. What motivational, no better motivation than that. They are setting the standard, setting the example. But I mean, I'm you and I have never met in person, but I'm looking at you here on the screen and you don't look Colombian to me. I think you're kind of like I was. I stuck out like a sore thumb down there, and at 6'2", I know you do.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot when you're out in public? Do you get people staring at you?
Yeah, I do. Definitely in Colombia, the being 6'2" in Colombia and white is definitely you stick out. And so like there's precautions that we take like to maintain safety as well. And you never want to stand out too much. You almost kind of just want to blend in with the crowd just for your own safety. And but a lot of these guys, like I'll be honest, Steve, like some of these guys may be dangerous, but a lot of these guys are cowards. If you're picking on little girls, raping little girls, you just and what we always tell these little girls too is these survivors really where like in the end you're gonna find out that you're so much more dangerous, you're so much more powerful, you're so much more strong than these guys. Because yeah, these guys maybe are tough when it's you trapped and drugged in an Airbnb with these guys. But when you have your family behind you, when you have the nonprofit behind you, the Colombian police, Homeland Security, the embassy, people like the Game of Crimes listeners that are listening to this, and I know will be on board with these girls too. You're going to find out that they may have hit you, but when you hit back, you're going to hit back a lot harder and you're much more dangerous. You're much more powerful. And when these guys come face to face with how powerful these girls are, they're cowards. Because they're picking on little girls in the first place. They're cowards. And once a bully comes in that's stronger than them, they cower.
Yep. I can't think of a better word than what you just said. And that's what I call Pablo Escobar. He was nothing more than a coward.
Yep.
It's funny that he's been dead over 30 years. And I got a message this morning on one of the social media platforms where a lot of people would like to see me dead. A lot of people would like to cut my head off and crap down my throat. And a lot of people would like for my children to die a slow death of cancer, all because we put a mass murderer in the ground. I'm pretty sure that most of the people that send me those messages were not even alive when he was in his reign of terror, because almost every audience, and we've done world tours. We've been all around the world for 9 years, and almost every audience, there's a Colombian that comes up afterwards, because we always do a Q&A. And I told you, we always make sure the Colombian National Police get credit for what they did down there. And almost every show, a Colombian national will come up to us and thank us for what we did for their country. We didn't do anything. I mean, we were there. Yeah, we participated. But I mean, you got to understand who was responsible for that. And that was the Colombian National Police. They're a model police agency for the entire world. And the fact that you're getting to work with them now, I love those guys. People always ask us, was corruption bad? Not like you thought. The only Colombians I ever met before I went to Colombia were the ones that I put in jail in South Florida. And I went down there thinking every citizen of that country must be a drug trafficker. And boy, was I wrong and pleasantly surprised, and came back with two. So it's just funny how life works out, isn't it? Now, you were recently recognized by the Colombian government, weren't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I was. Well, it's a good story. I just want to echo like what you're saying, like the Colombian National Police, like my director of justice in Colombia that coordinates all of our arrest efforts, our supporting law enforcement. He was a former Colombian police officer. And it's just such an honor because like these Colombian police officers, they work so hard and sometimes they have just pennies to work with. Mm-hmm. And so like Libertas, like we try to come along them as well to ensure that they have the right intel to investigate these guys and also have the funding. Like we had this case where there was a teacher's aide, a Colombian woman who was trafficking girls in her class that were vulnerable, either came from poor economic backgrounds or Venezuelan. And when it came time to arrest her, she fled to Cartagena. And so the Colombian cops asked us if we could fund their flights to Cartagena and then their food while they went and arrested this lady. And we did. This is what it takes to get justice for our girls. And yeah, we're going to help you. because they want to do a good job, but sometimes the funding's just not there. And so Libertas, another thing that we do is come alongside the Colombian National Police to help them do their job in a way that maybe they couldn't if they didn't have the initial support. And we never ask anything in return. It's a benefit for our girls as far as like getting justice and the recognition. Like I was awarded two awards in the last couple of years. There was one that was in Spanish, it's a condecoración, like a medal that you put on your jacket, and then the Shield of Dipro, which is like this statue and this cool little award. I got it, but I don't know if I quite deserve it, Steve. I think the thing with me, the award, they gave it to the founder of the company, but when it comes like the whole scheme of things, my team does the real heavy lifting down there. And it's the survivors that we work with. We're nobody without them, without their willingness to share their story, to fight for justice, to heal, to thrive. And so I told the cop, if you're going to give me this award, what you can do for me is allow me to invite 10 members of our survivor family to come and get the award with me so that they can share in this honor too. And then give them a tour around Bogota, because these girls have never gotten an airplane before. They've never traveled. Just make them feel special. And they were like, okay, deal. That sounds like a good plan. So I got the award. It was great. I'm very honored to have gotten that reward. But the real award for me was sharing that with 10 survivors from our survivor family, having them hold the award as well, having them like take pictures with the cops and share it with their friends and get to go around Colombia. Because a lot of these girls, it's pretty well known what's happened to them in their schools. And so sometimes they're known as the girls from the videos or girls without parents or girls that have been abused. But when you get on an airplane, that whole situation changes, where now they're not the girls that's been abused, the girl that's traveled, that's been on an airplane, that's been to Bogota, that has friends that are police officers, that ended up in the news or whatever. And it helps them just in their personal reputations in middle school and high school, which for me was the real award, seeing them so happy and seeing them hold it. And I truly believe that what's really special about Libertas International is not me necessarily, it's the team that I'm blessed to work with, the partners across the world, these brave men and women in law enforcement that do these amazing things, the amazing generosity of people that donate to create a better world, and then more than anything, the survivors who have chosen to survive and chosen to thrive. And so for me, that award meant so much more that they were right beside me getting it with me.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at you did an interview with,
Cowboy State Daily?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I lost it there for a second. And you've got a couple pictures here with people standing next to you. And, of course, their faces are either blurred out or this one where you're holding a plaque and she's holding the trophy. She has her hair down over her face so you can't see her. But, I mean, what a great way to do that. That's, you know, it's easy to let your ego get control of you in situations like this. Like, look what I did. So fantastic. One thing I really want to point out, and you've alluded to it several times, but I don't think our listeners, I was not aware of where the greatest percentage of predators come from. Can you enlighten us on that just a little bit?
Yeah. In the population that we work with, the majority of predators come from the United States. If it's not their family that's abusing them, it's people from the United States. And our percentage may be a little skewed based on the places that we work. It's people, it's almost like hidden predators living among us. Because a lot of these guys that we're arresting in Latin America or in here in the States, they have no prior sex offense. Like James Bond, for example, he abused 15 young girls that we're aware of in Colombia. And we're not even aware of the other victims that he abused in the Philippines, Brazil, Mexico, and Uganda, where he also visited and created abuse material. But he had no prior offense here. So it's almost like he's traveling overseas it says what he's doing. He's traveling overseas to engage in these sick fantasies overseas. So us catching him there or catching him here while they're doing this, it's protecting kids here in the United States as well, because these guys will escalate. They get confident. They maybe get away with it in a place like Colombia, but they're not getting away with it. And they may get confidence to abuse a kid here. So it's a preventive action that we're taking as well. And like that girl that you mentioned with the hair over her face, like that girl's one of my personal heroes. I love that girl to death because her story, it's because the Cowboy State Daily, they picked up that story because this girl is obsessed with Wyoming, obsessed. Because what happened is that she was rescued from an Airbnb when she was 13 years old, an American guy, and people can look him up. His name is Michael Roberts. He's been in jail for a couple of years now. He was abusing four girls in his Airbnb in Colombia, and he taught at an all-girls school in Austin, Texas. And so this girl, yeah. So this girl, she's rescued from this Airbnb, and they're going to send her to like this home. And she's telling this police officer who now works for me, she was like, well, what am I supposed to do when I get out? Like, I'm still going to be poor. I'm still going to be vulnerable. What am I going to do to survive? And this police officer at the time was just my colleague at the Columbia National Police. Now he's an employee for Libertas. He writes down my number and he's like, call this number. Supposedly this guy helps girls that are abused by Americans. Gives her my number. And it's, my number has a 307 attached to it because it's from Wyoming. And so this girl, she hides this number like in her armpit, between her toes, while they do all these cavity searches on her when she goes into this home to get healed, because mm-hmm. she knows that she has to keep this number to call it when she gets out to get help. And so she does. She leaves the home. She calls my phone and a very, you know, sweet message. She's like, hey, my name is this name. I need help. Like, this is what happened to me. And I was told that you might be able to help me. And so, of course, we say yes. We take her to go get Burger King, which is her favorite meal, and start this process with her. And she goes through this whole process. She finishes high school. There's this picture that I love. She's in this hotel getting interviewed by the Columbia National Police, the U.S. Embassy, and Homeland Security Investigations from Austin, Texas. Just this powerful picture where she's just the most important person in this room. 2 months later, they do the grand jury. They arrest Michael Roberts. He accepts all charges and he gets sentenced to jail. She speaks at his sentencing and she tells him in court, it would have been, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't change what's happened to me. I would go back in time and convince your mother to not give birth to you because the world would have been better if you were never born. And his mother started to cry because she was there, almost like she was in agreement with her. Based on mm-hmm. her statement, she's now studying social work. She wants to one day work for the nonprofit to help other survivors that have gone through something similar as her. And then next week, she's going to go speak at the United Nations so that the whole world knows what's happening in Colombia, what's happening in Medellin, and what she's doing to make an impact. But she just started out as this little girl who needed help. And yeah. So she's obsessed with Wyoming because the 307 number led to her freedom. She gifted me that note for my birthday last year. She had a little frame, like this little frame, and she gifted note that meant the world to her. She knows that so much of the funding from our nonprofit comes from Wyoming. She's Googled Yellowstone and Grand Teton and the Wind Rivers, and she gets so much healing from nature. And for her to know where she came from, this little girl rescued from an American in an Airbnb, to now speaking and addressing the General Assembly at the United Nations. For me, it's just a beautiful moment for her. And she got that award with me in Bogota. And like I said earlier, like the award means nothing without her, and to have her hold it with me then, and to see her next week addressing the world of her stories, it's the whole thing is just so beautiful.
And tell everybody where you're going next week if you can. And this, just so our listeners know, we're recording this on July 5th. So by the time you hear this, he'll have already been on his trip.
Yeah, so next week we're going to the United Nations. We got an invite this year to go and speak at the United Nations about contributing a constructive dialogue of how to better things, how to better the world as far as human trafficking rights, victims' rights. And for us, I think it's important for us to share like what's happening in Colombia with people from the developed world traveling down to abuse people in the developing world, and then what it means to stand up to evil. You know, it's what does it look like to be brave in the face of evil? And you know, sometimes it's hard. Like sometimes I feel like we cut off one head and two more take its place. But with girls like the girl that's coming with me to see her heal, see her thrive, know that the guy that trafficked her is in jail, that he's no longer teaching at an all-girls school in Austin, Texas. For me, it's such a honor to share that stage with her and to share what Libertas is doing to the whole world in hopes that that more people know, that more funding comes in, and that the world makes changes to make sure that the most vulnerable among us are protected.
And you're not going to the UN in New York City, are you?
No, sir. I'm going to Vienna in Austria.
Wow. Impressive.
Which is also cool because this girl that's studying social work, we have two survivors coming with us that are studying social work. They're both coming to address United Nations, and this is going to look awesome for their resume when they start applying for jobs.
Unbelievable. I mean, what you're doing is just, I mean, this is what stories, this is what movies are made of. It's outrageous, but it's for all the right reasons. Here's a young man that by his own admission is not excelling in school. He's just getting by. He's doing what he needs to do to get by and changes his whole life because of some mission work he did for the Mormon religion, for the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. And then you give up college, you sell your books, your laptop and everything to buy a ticket to go explore things. I could go on, and I will for our listeners. I will in the debrief, and I probably will in the intro also. Could not be more proud of what you represent, what you've done with your life. I mean, if there's a human being that we've had a lot of people on the show that are leaders that represent what's good in our world, and man, you are right there at the top. So proud of everything that's going on here. I want to tell everybody too that if you want to follow Tyler on what he's doing here, his website is libertasinternational.org. That's where you can donate. And you saw me just do it. It took me like 2 minutes. Did it on a credit card. On LinkedIn, he's at Tyler Schwab, and he is also at Libertas International. On Instagram, Facebook, and X, you can find him at Libertas, LIBERTAS International. And also on Instagram and Facebook, I found him at Tyler Schwab 20 on Instagram and Tyler Schwab, just that, on Facebook. So you're all over it. Somebody asked me recently if we could interview people that don't have books on here. I thought it was kind of funny. And Tyler doesn't have one, but I asked him anyway. He's actually written one. He's looking for a publisher now. So I've already told him when it comes out, it will be posted, I promise you, on the Game of Crimes podcast website on the book list. And the book list is getting pretty extensive. We've got a buttload of books on there, but it's a little way that we can support you and the people that give us their time to come on the show and tell us your stories. Man, this is one of the most moving stories I've ever had on the show. Probably for me, the most moving. I mean, we've had guests on here, law enforcement officers that have been brutalized and left disabled, and I can tear up on those, but I've never quite lost control like that, Tyler. So I guess next thing you'll be doing is shoot me with a damn arrow. I hope not. I'll burst into flame. But Tyler, are there any last words you'd like to leave us with?
No, I think I would. I think three things I'll leave with. For one, check us out at libertasinternational.org. We survive on donations, and Steve, generously gave us one today, and I so appreciate And that's how we support. That's how we support these girls. That's how we support our cause and support our law enforcement partners. So that'd be awesome. Find us on social media as well. All the social media sites that Steve mentioned. And I guess, Steve, I thank you for doing this podcast. I learned so much from it. There's an episode on here where you talk about the officer from Boise. And I learned so much on just how to be resilient in my life situation and the situation of our girls as well. Cause some of our girls, they haven't been disabled because of the abuse, but some of them have to live with STDs now for their lifetime and how to come back from that. And I learned a lot from that podcast as well. And I guess my last thing is I probably ask you a question that I kind of want recorded is someone who has fought evil in Medellin for a long time and across the world, what advice would you have for my team, my survivors, myself, as we continue to fight this evil in that city and also across the world? What advice would you give to someone who's looking to look at this, maybe not a Pablo Escobar, but someone who's causing pain to people in this city, how to fight it and how to be better warriors against injustice?
Seeing that it's so prevalent there, it really distresses me to know that most of the predators are Americans. You talk about that stigma we have of the ugly American. Those people personify that quote there, the ugly American. I don't think you get any uglier than that. The fact that these girls are displaying signs of bravery and resilience and their restitution in their life, that they're getting their life back and they're willing to go speak. Education, public awareness of what's going on to make all Colombians aware of what's taking place. Is poverty prevalent? It's always been prevalent in third world country. And Colombia is, we always said, if they could get control of the insurgent groups down there, the FARC and the M19 and ELN, AUC, all the groups that are down there, if you could put that stop to that, which is probably never going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime for sure. Colombia could become not a third world country. It could become a leading country in the world. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. The people are unbelievably nice. They're very proud of their country. They're nice to the point that if you treat them like you're an ugly American, they'll treat you like you're an ugly American. They got no problem telling you hey, there's the airport out there, and you can take your happy ass on back to where you came from. And I respect that. They have an abundance of natural resources there, whether it's the flowers or the tobacco or the gold or the emerald mines or the petroleum, you know, the tourism. They're a country that's abundant in natural resources and wealth. So, and I would love to see them come and step up, but unfortunately they have the dubious reputation of having the, I think, the second longest running civil war in the history of our entire world. So it's an uphill battle. But back to your question, and that's just what I think about Colombia. I love it. That's my wife and I, we say Colombia is our favorite country in the world after the United States. But having these young victims come out and tell their stories publicly, and I know that takes a lot of bravery. Talk about despicable things that were done to them, unmentionable things that a child should never have to go through. And it's not limited to Colombia. We know in law enforcement, we used to kiddingly say, you know, we've got the best job security in the world because we never run out of criminals. And that's what's going to happen here. Colombia has to do, well, not only Colombia, United States, we need to get stronger in our laws and the penalties that go along with them. Traditionally, prisoners charged with those types of crimes do suffer a horrible life in prison to the point where they're not allowed to go out in general population. They're pretty much in solitary confinement. I think they should be required to go out in general population, but that's probably why I don't make the rules. I wish I had one single answer that would cure this problem, but I don't. People say, we took out Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel. Well, what happened? People ask us, did you have any positive effect on the production and distribution of cocaine by taking them out? We did. Lasted about 2 weeks. And then the Cali cartel stepped up and we took them out. And then the North Valley cartel stepped up. We took them out. And then this guy named Don Berna stepped up. We took him out. Colombia is still the leading country for production and distribution of cocaine in the world. I love your country. I love you guys in Colombia, but you know, the truth is the truth here. I think our world as a whole has become too permissive. And I'll get off my soapbox here in just a second. I think that we need to hold criminals accountable for their actions. None of this, you know, commuting sentences, that's BS in my book. If a jury finds you guilty and you're sentenced to a prison term, you need to do whatever, you know, you committed the crime. Now it's time to do the time. The old saying says, and I know I'm a hawk when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm not a dove when it comes to crime enforcement. But and I quit rambling here. I just wanted to say once again, thank you so much for giving us your time. Thank you for being persistent in pursuing me so that we could get your story out there. As I'm, what I'm thinking in the back of my mind is maybe every so often have you come back on the show and give us updates. Not that it'd be a regular episode, an hour and a half, 2 hour episode, but maybe just a little bonus episode to tell us how things are going down there, how you're handling it financially. You folks know what's coming. You're going to hear it again in the intro and the outro, but I highly encourage you to donate. This is one of the most worthy causes we've had on here. We have a lot of worthy causes on here. People that are helping folks with PTSD, whatever it might be. But this is helping these little children.
I'd be honored. That would be a dream come true for me.
I kind of hate to let you go, man, because this has been one of the most personally, I guess, I don't know if I'd say satisfying, but something that has affected me more than any of the other interviews we've done on here. I am going to let you go. I need you to stick around just for a few minutes. And for all our listeners, thanks for tolerating me and stick around for the debrief. Whoa. Wow. What an amazing young man doing some unbelievably heroic things. Isn't that right? And this goes for those working with Tyler as well. Now, be honest with me. Did anyone besides me have tears in your eyes, maybe running down your cheeks when he told us the story about that 19-month-old little girl? How could you not? You know, children are just so trusting and innocent. They want our love and attention, especially from their moms and dads. That's who they know, who they see most often. And this continues on for years, right? When we adopted our daughters, just doing things to make, you know, the little girl smile, man, that just made my day. It just really brightens everything up. When Connie and I returned to the United States with our daughters, I love coming home after work and the girls would come running up calling out, Daddy, Daddy. You know, one time I came home from a work trip, Connie and the girls, they met me at the door where I was getting off the plane. Now, obviously, this was before 9/11. But when the girls saw me walking up the jetway, it's all Connie could do to hold them back. And when I finally got off the jetway, the girls almost tackled me just to smother me with their hugs. No better feeling. You know, the other pastors, they got a good laugh that day, but it just made me feel so good. So when I think about what this 19-month-old's mom did to her and then sold the videotapes to the perverts, my heart was just broken for that baby. I can't even imagine what that child must have been going through. That beautiful little girl's mind where her mom, you know what? Let's just wait a minute here. That woman doesn't deserve the honorable title of mom or mother, not after what she did to her baby. So what that sick person who was impersonating a human being, I think that's a better way to describe this, whatever she is, she violated her own baby. It makes me sick to think about it and even talk about it. Thank God Tyler and his crew from Libertas were there to answer the call and save that child. If you go to our website, gameofcrimespodcast.com, I've posted a few pictures of this beautiful baby girl. Now, I blocked out her face, but believe me, she's one little cutie. Back to Tyler's story. Here's a young man in college who saw something he didn't understand while he was visiting the Dominican Republic, went back to school. He had attended a seminar on human trafficking. Then he put two and two together to now understand what he'd seen down in the Dom Rep. But here's the thing. Instead of saying someone should do something about that, Tyler said, let me do something about that. At 23 years old, think back to when you were 23 and what were you doing? Would you give up everything you had to start a nonprofit from scratch with little to no startup funding and head off to other countries? Countries that are very different from where you, me, or Tyler grew up, and they don't even speak English. You know what? At that age, I know I wasn't mature enough to do something like that. What motivates someone to do that? I don't know. Personally, I believe people are given special talents to do spectacular things in life. Fortunately, Tyler recognized this and stepped up. Can you tell how proud I am of this young man? I used a saying last week from John Wayne. I'm using it again this week because it applies. The saying is, courage is being scared to death, but still saddling up anyway. That's what Tyler did. He continues to do it to this day. He goes and saddles up and he fights for others. No greater calling. I asked him about his safety in those countries and he downplayed it quite a bit. Now I'm telling you, these criminals and their organizations, they will stop at nothing to prevent anyone from interfering with their perverted acts, which means that absolutely Tyler and his colleagues are in harm's way every day. Make no mistake about it. They are in danger. You also heard how Tyler and company work with the police agencies in the various countries to include the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Makes me proud. So please don't think he and his group are out there just running and gunning on their own. They're doing it the right way. Tyler and his people understand the law, they know the limits, and they work hand-in-hand with the authorities. I can't say it any better than this. God bless Tyler Schwab, along with all the men and women in law enforcement, our military, and all our first responders. Please protect them and keep them safe. Tyler has written a manuscript for a book, and he's now looking for a publisher, so obviously it's not out. But once that book is out, I'll let you know about it here on Game of Crimes, and we'll post it on our website. Can't wait to read it when it gets out, Tyler. The organization that Tyler leads is called Libertas International. That's Libertas International. Please go to their website, libertasinternational.org. Learn more about what they do. Check out the pictures they have. Read about their adventures and successes. And then this is the most important. Donate whatever you can. You saw how quickly I made a donation during Tyler's interview. It's very easy. It's very straightforward. So please give what you can to help these children and others who are being victimized and brutalized by human traffickers. Do your part to learn more about human trafficking and how you can help. Should you see something that you think looks suspicious, don't hesitate to contact local authorities and report it. These victims, can you imagine how scared they are? They're probably too scared to say anything. So we all have to step in to do our little part to stop this madness. Human trafficking, slavery, whatever you want to call it, it's got to stop. There's never a place for that in our world. There never should have been. These perverts have to be stopped. I'm so embarrassed to know that 80% of these subhumans are from the United States. man, we are screwed up, aren't we? If it was up to me, they'd all go to prison. And you know what? While they're in prison, they'd be in general population, not in solitary confinement. And here's the bottom line. They'd never be free to prey on anyone else ever again. So you can also find Tyler and Libertas on Instagram, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Tyler Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B, and Libertas International. Tyler, my friend, you truly are a leader among men. You saw a need and an opportunity to help others, and you stepped up and accepted the challenge. I'm so proud to know you, to support your organization, and it was a true honor, an absolute honor to have you here on Game of Crimes. Down the road, I hope you'll come back to the show, update us on all the successes you and your people are having at saving and supporting those victims of human trafficking. Okay, very quickly, go to Apple or Spotify, hit those 5 stars each week, and on YouTube, do me a favor and click on the subscribe button. It only takes a minute, and it really helps the show. Send me your comments on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or to our email address, which is gameofcrimespodcast@gmail.com. And I'm really expecting to hear some comments on today's episode. Our website is gameofcrimespodcast.com. That's where you find all our episodes, book lists, merchandise, and a link to our Patreon channel. On Facebook and Instagram, you can go to Game of Crimes Podcast, and on X, just type in Game of Crimes. Also on Facebook, go to the Game of Crimes fans and join the best private group on the Facebook platform, the group that's run by our favorite mafia queen, Miss Sandy Salvato. She rules with an iron fist, but she wears a velvet glove. And for even more content, go to patreon.com/gameofcrimes and sign up. Also, do me a favor, tell your friends about Game of Crimes, either in person or on your social media platforms or however you stay in touch with others. The best advertising and marketing in the podcast world is word of mouth, and your efforts are much more effective than mine. I truly appreciate you helping me spread the word about the best weekly true crime podcast that's available. Once again, thank you all for continuing to support the Game of Crimes. Remember, we can have different ideas and different opinions, but it doesn't mean we can't continue to be friends. Finally, thanks for joining me in playing the biggest, baddest, most dangerous game of all, the Game of Crimes. I'll see y'all next week.
Five new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.